Around Woods Hole, Massachusetts, writer and naturalist Dave Mash is known as a storyteller. He doesn't tell tall tales, but recounts incidents from his life and the people he's known. Producer Vicki Merrick of stations WCAI and WNAN got to know Mash at a local coffee shop while listening to him tell stories. Recently, Merrick asked Dave Mash to talk about his father.
I grew up in the middle of the city of Detroit, but my father still maintained a lot of his country ways, even though we were now in the city. He raised chickens and rabbits. I remember when I was a very small lad, 3.5, 4 years old, tall enough to look right through the wires on a rabbit cage and look the rabbit in the eye. And one day the rabbit had babies. And these baby rabbits are funny-looking little pink things, very embryonic. I remember my father saying to me, after showing me the rabbits, and saying to me, "Though those are the baby rabbits, David, and whatever you do, don't touch the baby rabbits." Okay, so my father went off to work, and I'm still toddling around the backyard, thinking now about it. He's not, "Don't touch the baby rabbits." It's one of those deals like telling a kid, "Don't put a bean in your ear." You know, you never thought of it before, but now your parents are giving you a fascinating idea. You're bound to try it. So I went back to the rabbit cage, and I reached up and opened the latch, and I reached in, I carefully moved the fur off these baby rabbits, and then with the end of my index finger, I touched each one of the baby rabbits. And 6 hours later, my father came home and came into the house, and he says to me, "David, you touched the rabbits." And I'm, you know, a little guy thinking, "Oh, my God, this is God himself. I mean, how did he know? I mean, this all, how did he not? You touch the rabbits." And then I didn't say anything. And I waited. He took me outside with him, and he opened the rabbit cage. And there, the mother rabbit was chewing on one of the baby rabbits, having eaten one or two already and killed the others. And we closed the rabbit cage door. Nothing more was said about it. But I got by implication, because I had touched the rabbits or because I had disobeyed my father's, now the mother was killing all the baby rabbits, and I felt terrible. I, of course, had no idea that sometimes when you handle baby animals and the parents object to the smell of a human being, they will kill them. I didn't know that. He didn't explain anything. He didn't say any more about it. Of course, I never touched another baby rabbit. I was ready to accept guilt for anything bad that happened to anybody within my acquaintance because I had done something inadvertently or possibly deliberately that might have caused this to happen. So I was always willing to accept the guilt for, or to assume that somehow I was guilty. And I honestly didn't get over my feelings about this, my guilt about this, and my anger and resentment later at my father for not explaining this to me that made me live with this guilt for many years. And I've never forgiven him and never got to talk with him about it, because before I realized it was important enough to talk about, he had a stroke and we couldn't talk about much anything. My father's father was a physically violent and a very frightening man. As soon as my father was legally able to leave home, he did. My father was forced to leave school in the third grade to work on the farm. So my father, though he was a very intelligent man, was totally uneducated and resented that, I think, throughout his life. So my father was going to make sure I got to go to school. And he did, right through college, and to make sure that, you know, I had my sports. When I was born, he bought me an adult's catcher's mitt, you know, assuming I was going to be a ball player, which I turned out to be. Well, I played ball seriously for a long time in my life, from when I was about 8 years old till after I got out of college. And I made all-city and all-state. When I left to go to college, by that time I played 1,000 ball games, and my father, as far as I knew, had seen me play only twice. He hadn't seen one game till I was in my senior year in high school, and that always hurt my feelings. It still does to this day. And then later, after my father was taken ill and had a stroke before we straightened things out, my mother showed me that all my life, my baseball life, my father had kept a scrapbook of things written about me in the newspapers and such, which, you know, there was a fair amount of stuff. He'd kept this religiously, but never told me about it. And I don't really know why. But he was trying hard to be better at treating me than he was treated when he was a kid. And I've told you something about how I resented the way he treated me, which was actually better than he was treated. Then I later had a son, and now I thought I can treat my son with what I've learned from dealing with my father and my knowledge of his father. I can treat him better, and maybe pretty soon we'll produce a father that does it right. And things were going pretty well. I was very happy with my son, and he with me, it seemed to me. Anyway, he might have had stories to tell like I am, but God, we're never going to know, because unfortunately, when he's 15 years old, he drowned. So my hope of improving the strain of fathers in the MASH family ended, because I only had one son. Well, that's sad. However, I think that's something we all have to do, is try to do better to our children than was done to us. Or at least as good if we were treated well.
Dave MASH lives in Katomet, Massachusetts. In addition to being a writer and naturalist, he is the retired co-director of the Penike School for Troubled Boys, where he is affectionately known as Pops. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Robert Wharton's son, Ned, with production help from Glenn Harrell's son, Phil, Ed Heinzman's daughter, Elaine, Tom Handel's daughter, Sarah, Cornelius Ivory's daughter, Danielle, and James Rector's son, David. Henry Seidel's son, Stu, is the senior editor. The senior producer is Ed Molesky's son, Robert. Our technical director is Mike Hunn's son, Burke, with Eli Gabin's son, Greg. The reference librarian is Joe Shiel's daughter, Key. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Craig Smith. I'm Edwin Hansen's daughter, Leanne.